And one of those other aspects of our church that is so important to us that we're focusing on and highlighting is one of our key points is that of teaching, that we desire to be a church that lives by God's word. Not only just lives by God's word, that loves it and shares it with those around us. And we've walked through a couple areas together of focusing on what we can pull from God's word, why it's so important for us, and how it guides our lives. And today, we're going to look at a passage that I'll have to be honest with you all. For so long, it's one of those passages that just goes in one ear and right out the other. Anybody have that kind of like lesson, something they're trying to teach, something you're trying to been taught over and over again that just for some reason just does not stick with you? You know, for me, outside of this passage, it's fractions. I am not a math person at all, thankfully. Natalie handles all of the numbers and things. I learned a lot about fractions on a measuring tape with Bud working on the house and different areas of that. But growing up, it was just one of those that anytime I sat down and tried to learn it, it just wouldn't stick no matter how hard I tried. And today, in this passage that we're going to be in, it's one of those for me that so many times hearing this story that Jesus would tell, has told, is so powerful for us, that focuses on God's word. That actually, it's part of it, part of its job is to deter some people. Help for those that just want to hear messages go one ear and right out the other, helps us to understand that a little bit. So we're going to be in a parable. All about that Jesus tells, that's all about making God's word intentional in our lives and how that comes to be. So before we jump into this section in Luke, let me pray for us before we go into God's word to bless our time together. So if you would, please bow with me as I pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, we come to you. We're so thankful for a beautiful day that you have blessed us with. The sun shining outside reminds us that each and every day your mercies are new with this beautiful morning. And Lord, we are eternally grateful for that gift to us, of which we don't deserve. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word today, Lord, that your truth would stick with us. Lord, that we would be like this last group that we're going to look through, that would be hungering and growing only from sustaining by your word. Be with us today. Open our minds and our hearts to your truth and your truth alone. Use me as your mouthpiece today. Anything of myself be faded away. Any fear, any lack of confidence be replaced with you and your confidence. Continue to guide and direct us, and thank you for this opportunity to open your word, to glean from it, and to carry this truth out with us from this place today. It's your name that we pray all these things. Amen. So this morning at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, this is a parable that Jesus shares, a teaching time that Jesus has with a large crowd. And we'll actually see, we'll break this down a little bit after we just read through it and see how it's a little bit different from his other teachings and his other parables. But you can follow along on the screens beside me or in one of the pew Bibles, those red pew Bibles there, or in a Bible or a device you brought yourselves. Luke 8, starting there in verse 4. It says this: while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because there was no moisture. Other seeds fell along the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than it was sown. Said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are those who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So that's where, this is a section we're going to be in. We're going to be in the main section where Jesus explains this parable. Before we get into that, I always like to explain some of these Bible-y Christian church words for us. We've walked through a parable before, if you've been with us, but to help us all understand, a parable is an extended metaphor. And a parable's purpose is to teach message, or one idea, a main truth. And what a lot of pastors, commentators, or scholars, or a lot of smarter people than me like to pick out the small details in all the stories and try to come up with symbols that all these different things mean from them. But the main idea of these stories are to take a big concept and make them small for us to understand. So really, this idea is just, it's a word picture to really bring out this main idea, a big concept about God's kingdom or his truth to help us understand in our time today. And so Jesus would use circumstances like farming and other things that were common to the people that he was around speaking to really help them understand and grasp these big concepts that are confusing. We joked around on Wednesday night and said if Jesus came during our time period, more than likely there would be a parable about a churchgoer, how they would poorly care for a waitress or a waiter after they went to service, or they went to lunch after church service, because we talked about a little bit how if you've been in the works, the wait staff service before, the church folks are the worst tippers. So if you're going out to lunch today, make sure you love and care for your waiter or your waitress. But that's a little aside there. The other aspect I want to break this down into, maybe this is why it's so confusing for me. In your Bibles, you might have a little heading on top of this, and they might call this the parable of the sower, right? You might see that it's maybe well known as a parable of the sower, the one who throws the seeds out, the farmer here. But I like to call this, to help me understand, because the only thing that changes in this story that Jesus tells is the soil. So I like to call this the parable of the soil to kind of help differentiate where we're heading and what's really important to break this apart. Because the farmer stays the same, the sower is the same, the seed is the same. The only thing that is different is where the seed lands in the different kinds of soil. The last aspect that we have about this special parable is that this is one of the short circumstances, one of the only circumstances where Jesus explains his parable plainly to his followers. They pull him aside after the crowd goes through and says, "We don't really understand what you're talking about here. Can you explain this to us?" And he has this little aside and says, "You know, I talk this way, I share this way because a lot of people want different things from me." We know that he's fed 5,000, 4,000 plus people throughout this time and they've seen him do miracles, wonders beyond anything else anyone could ever do. So people are looking for Jesus all for the wrong things that he actually came here to do. So he talks in these confusing ways to help weed out the crowd. Pun there. But it helps us to see that Jesus wasn't here just to simply perform miracles, just wasn't simply to feed people a really good lunch, but to help them understand his truth overall. And the great thing about teaching and preaching on this message is that Jesus did the hard work for us. He explains this himself, so that's where we're going to look at and focus on his words, not mine, to help us explain these different sections. So he starts explaining these different soils represent throughout his story, starting there in verse 12. He says, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved." So that first group that Jesus talks about in this parable are those sown along the path. That's where we're going to be breaking down our time, breaking down these four different groups. The first of these is those sown along the path. And Jesus explains here that this is a picture of those people who hear the word of God, but as Satan and the enemy immediately comes in and snatches away them before it's even able to take root. What we really need to realize and recognize and acknowledge is that there is truly an enemy out to get us. And the scriptures don't back down when it talks about his goal, his final goal for us, to seek out to kill and destroy us. His number one tactic is to pull us away in any form, any manner he can to get us away from hearing and obtaining and living by God's truth. And there's multiple ways that he is able to do this because there is this war that is happening within our hearts. And so just to kind of help us to get in the mindset of or some of the tactics, any good army, any good team would know the tactics of their enemy. And so I want to help us to understand a few of those tactics that the enemy may be using and can be even using in this very room today. Because the reality is, maybe you might be here, and this is one of the ways that the enemy uses his tactics, because maybe you might be here today simply out of habit. That this is from the day that you were born, that it was the norm for you to come to church, that it was the expectation for you to come to church, that mom and dad got you in your Sunday best, and you went and you had to sit in your pew, and you might still be there to this very day. But for you, it's only out of the normalcy that Sunday's coming, I'm here, I have to be here, I'm going, it's what I normally do. And because you've gotten this so routine and everything so mundane to you, that you're just going through the motions. That you're here just because of obligation and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak truth into your life just simply because I've checked it off my box, I'm going to go to lunch, and I'm going to poorly tip my waitress. That's your job, that's your plan for today. I'll leave you alone about the waitress thing, I promise. So that's one tactic that the enemy may use, that you are just here simply because that's all you know. That it's you're here, that I'm expected to be here, and if I don't show up, someone's going to give me a call and tell me, why weren't you here? So I'd rather just use my time to come here and not have to hear the complaints. Another tactic that the enemy might use is that you love to learn. That the enemy knows that God created you in a way that you love to pick pieces apart and understand, and you love hearing about and learning about God's word. But the fear and how the enemy might use that is the reality is that you might allow yourselves to be filled with so much head knowledge that it never transforms to your heart. It never transfers down to your heart. That you never take in truth and really evaluate where is God teaching me? Where is God challenging me? Where is God asking me to grow? And even further than that, you may never let that go from your heart to your hands and feet. Saying, because what God has done, I want to go and I want to share and I want to serve others. You might be thinking, all I need is just everything up here and never allow God to transform your heart. And if I can be so bold today, one of the other enemy's tactics, one of other Satan's tactics is allowing your own selfishness to keep you from hearing God's truth. That you allow yourself to be so focused on everything being centered around exactly how you want it to be. How everything has to be in its order and its place, and if something's off by a simple degree, then you are thrown off and off the handle, not able to hear what God has for you today. That you want everything to be focused around you, and if someone doesn't say the right thing to you, or they walk right past you, or we don't sing the right song, or whatever it may be, you know, that keeps you away from the truth of what God is trying to reveal and speak to your heart today, or any time that you may come here. You know, a wise man came here once and said something very powerful, that a successful church that is honoring God looks like this, that we focus on God first, we focus on the people outside of this place second, we care about those and care about the reality of those around us third, and ourselves last. And maybe the enemy is saying, well, I'm important. Don't I get a say? Shouldn't this be centered around me? Newsflash, that's not how Jesus works. So the truth is, you may be missing what God is trying to reveal to you, and you might be the main culprit of why you're not growing in your walk with the Lord. Or one of my favorites, because I get to see it sometimes, not here as often, but you might be here today for somebody else. That whenever you hear somebody, whenever you hear a message on marriage, you're the first one to elbow your spouse and say, are you listening to pastor? Dinner was late last week. What's going on? The reality is that you have to be able to listen for yourself. Allow you the Holy Spirit to speak for you, to speak to you, and not be here for someone else to have your arsenal full of defense, of saying ready, have all that ready to go. So the worst thing to hear is, I'm so glad I was here this morning for so-and-so to hear this message. I can't wait to go back and tell them this, to twist the knife a little bit deeper and to misuse God's word. Because the reality is, church, we can't grow cold to the truth of the gospel or allow ourselves or our circumstances or the enemy to use these different tactics or in many others to pull us away from the truth that he is trying to share with us each and every time we're gathered. So I'd humbly ask that maybe we step outside of our own desires, our own thoughts, our own wishes of what we want out of Sunday morning, or what maybe what we want to use to hear somebody, to use in our next argument with somebody else, or maybe just to come here and to fill up our good head knowledge so that we can go out and debate everybody else or make ourselves look the best when we answer the right Sunday school answer. But instead, allow our hearts to be transformed and not let the enemy swiftly pull us away from this truth, even before we get started. So the next group that we have, that was the first group, those sown along the path, ones that the enemy pulls without allowing roots to grow. The second group that we focus and see here in this is that those that are sown on rocky ground. Verse 13 tells us about those. It says, those on rocky ground are those who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. So Christ tells us that this second group is a little bit different here, that those are the ones who come to church, who hear God's word, who study his truth, who are able to accept it and understand it up until there comes a trial in their life. There comes a hard moment where they look around and say, God, I thought you were good. I thought you wanted to give me good things. I thought you cared about me. I thought you loved me. But this hardship, this heartache in my life is telling me otherwise. And it's time for me to just pack it up and go home, because it's not worth it if I have to walk through this tough moment. But the reality If you ask any healthy, mature follower of Jesus Christ, they'll tell you that even in the hardest, darkest of moments, ones that they wouldn't wish even push on to their worst enemy, they wouldn't take it back on the far side of it, because they know that God was with them, that God showed them his truth, and that when those real tests come in our lives, it reveals where God has been all along. So the reality is that when those realities, when those tough moments come, and if they haven't come your way, anticipate them coming. The enemy is real. Jesus tells us in his word that we are going to experience heartache and trials in this life. But remember this important truth, that the word of God, given to us by his grace, can give us hope, comfort, direction, strength, and everything we need, even when our world is falling apart. I can't tell you why God allows certain aspects to come into our lives, certain situations that can bring us to our knees. But I can tell you that he came to defeat evil and sin and death for all eternity, and this book has told us that. And this can be our solid ground when our world is crumbling around us. So there's two, we're already halfway through this already. Those sown on rocky ground, the ones who don't have the roots built up until when those tough moments come, they fall away. The third group there are those sown among the thorns. And Jesus tells us what this group represents here, little differentiation between this last group and this one. Verse 14 says, "And the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." See, the difference between this group and the last is that this group also hears God's truth. They accept it. They believe it to be true. But when the world around us begins to distract us, the good and the bad, they begin to pull away. See, the difference between this group is that they worship creation over their creator. That they are so distracted by this world and the good that God has blessed us with that they begin to fill up their own riches and focus on how they can be the best and what is greatest for them instead of giving God the glory, God the honor, and God the thankfulness for what he has done for them. And that worry starts to come in of, am I going to have enough? Is this what, can I always get a little bit more? I always like sharing this example of Rockefeller, one of the early American moguls, one of the early American, one of the wealthiest men was interviewed early on, and he was asked, how much money will make you, Rockefeller, happy? And his simple response was, just a dollar more. Just a dollar more. See, the reality is that those who follow after the world, that worship creation over the creator, will never find true satisfaction. Because the reality is that this world was not meant to give us that kind of satisfaction. Our creator was. That is how we were created and what we are destined for. But the struggle within us is God has built us and created and formed us with certain desires. And not all desires are bad. We desire to be fed and to have to thirst and to seek relationships and to build families. But the reality is that those desires can easily be distracted and pulled from our Creator and easily attached to his creation. But instead, we have to ask and see from his word what desires rule our hearts. What desires are ruling our hearts each and every day? instead of focusing on the kingdom of this world and the riches of this world, may we be people who seek after the kingdom of God. And last but not least, can you believe how fast we're flowing through this? Or at least it feels fast for me. I don't know about you. Last but not least are those sown on good soil. And spoiler alert, these are the ones that we should be aiming for. And I say we should be aiming for because the true reality before we even break this down is that we will reach this in perfection. The truth of reality is we'll never reach this imperfection because we are not perfect. I don't know if you realize that one or not. Newsflash, there you go. That's your wisdom you can walk away with today. But the reality is that this is what we aim for. Let's read what this says in verse 15. It says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. You have a noble and good heart? Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. What a beautiful reality. And when Jesus shares this in the parable, he says that crop that is produced is 100-fold. That really stood out to me this week as I was preparing and studying this, that a simple seed would be able to produce 100 times more than what it was expected. And that's not our strength, that's his. That's his doing. And so what this group represents that we aim towards to be are those who understand their need for the Word of God, their need to be sustained, to live by each and every truth that is in it, to give them true everlasting life, that they hear these words with humility, knowing full well that this is the only way to live, that by God's grace, we are given this life-sustaining nourishment each and every day. And that it's the only thing that will satisfy us. And as we continue to grow and as we continue to go to this for life, our roots grow deeper and we begin to have our hearts formed by this truth and we look different. And we are strong and are rooted in the truth of who Jesus is. So much so that it impacts those all around us, not just ourselves, but there is something that expands 100-fold around us. That is what we aim for. Again, we're not going to be perfect at it, but those who are rooted, that love God's word, that live by it, that share it with others, that are so contagious for God's word that they're on fire and it spreads to those around them wherever they go. And so now that we've unpacked those four different areas, I want to draw your attention back to the middle of this passage where Jesus says this important line. He says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And this phrase is for you and for me, for those who hear this word, who aim to be in that fourth category, on that good soil, rooted by God's truth and his truth alone. This is a call for you and for me to take responsibility on the way that we receive God's word. It's a responsibility to hear and take in this truth. But the reality is that it's the first call that we actively listen to God's truth. That we eliminate internal and external distractions to say, Lord, whatever it has my mind and my heart, Lord, take that away and let it be focused on you and your goodness. Don't let those around me, don't let my own negative thoughts, my own circumstances pull me away from what you would have for me. Don't let my worries, don't let my love and desire for the things of this world pull me away from your truth. And the second call in this as well is to make the conscious decision to make a positive spiritual impact and change based off of where God is calling and speaking to you as you listen to those words. It is a dual of being able to listen and implement what God is doing. Because the reality is, if this time or any time that you come to God's word is just to check it off the list, just to make yourself look the part, not to be able to take in and self-evaluate and say, God, where are you speaking to my life? What changes do I need to look and act and respond like you in my day-to-day circumstances? If we're not willing to look inward and see where God is speaking to us as we listen to his word, if we're not willing to put in the work to make those changes in his strength, then church, there's no reason to be here. There is no reason just to hear these words. There is no reason for me to come up and share them with you if we're not willing to make the positive change. So I know I'm a weird pastor. I get it. I've already made a couple weird jokes here already. I said I wouldn't make fun of your waitress anymore. I promise I won't. But the reality is, and I want to be serious in this, you probably have never heard a pastor say this before. But if you don't want to hear and respond to God's word in this way, you have my permission to leave. You have my permission to leave. The reality is if we don't want to be a church that lives by, understands, and carries and responds to God's word, then what are we doing here? What is the purpose? What is the point? There's not a reason other than for you to sit in these semi-uncomfortable chairs, these pews, unless it's to be transformed by this message and this message alone. So by God's grace, I will release you into the world because you land in one of the other three categories and not the last. And by God's grace, I pray that we would be transformed and all would live and strive to aim for that last section. But if you're here out of responsibility, if you're here and just to be pulled away from Satan's tactics and his power, then by all means, no pressure, no fear, no one's going to hate you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to love on you. We're going to care for you. But the reality is we have to be transformed by this word. We have to hear it with an open heart. I don't pray that just because it sounds good. We have to be open to this truth, allow it to for God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus by his saving grace to transform us in a powerful way, to allow us to speak even the whispers in our lives and implement what we've been hearing. Because if we can't make those changes, we can't be people who hear, who has ears to hear and respond in the correct way, then there is no point of having next week. There is no point of having next Wednesday. It is only by God's truth that we are gathered and have all from different backgrounds, different circumstances, are all able to come together and praise God's name. May we be people who are called to be, who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, who put in the work in cultivating and strengthening our relationship and dependence on him and respond accordingly. So as we begin to close and to really hone in on these couple questions as you go out from this place today, I ask you first, what kind of heart are you bringing as you hear God's word? As you read God's word in your own personal time, as we come together corporately to read and expound upon this truth, are you coming with it with a distracted heart? Are you easily pulled away by the enemy? Are you standing in your own way from hearing this truth? Are you open to God's spirit and his prompting as you desire to grow and to be cultivated by him? Is your heart distracted by one of Satan's tactics, causing you to miss the truth that God desires for you to hear and to live by? Now, maybe you're here today and your heart shifts based on your own circumstances. You came in today and you're struggling and you're saying to yourself, I don't know if this whole Jesus thing is worth it. You know, this circumstance, I feel like I'm at the bottom of the pit and I don't know which way is up. Can I encourage you to dive deeper into this book, to be encouraged by its truth, by a God who knows death up close and personal and made a way that no tear, that he would wipe away every tear in our eyes, that one day we would all be able to experience life and life abundantly of those who place their trust, hope, and faith into him. Or are you so busy in life that you're so focused on everything being perfect and having everything in order or building up your own storehouses and focusing on, oh, if I have enough, am I going to make it? Am I going to do enough? Can I ask you, are you resting in the truth that is given to us from this book? Or do you listen with a true hunger and desire to know your loving Creator above all else, knowing him as your life source, your comfort, and your all? Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Let's close in a word of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity to break down this very confusing book at times and see the different ways that your Spirit allows us to interact with this. Lord, I pray that you would be the center of our minds and our hearts and our all as we learn from, as we're taught this from Sunday mornings at Sunday school to our worship service gathering, to our Wednesday night gatherings, to our life group opportunities. Lord, every time we are in this book, Lord, I pray that you would be at the center of our minds and our hearts. Because Lord, as your creation, you know full well that we are easily distracted, that we are easily pulled away from the pleasures of this world, worshiping creation over Creator. That there is indeed an enemy around us, stalking like a lion, ready to devour each of us and pull us away from our intended opportunities to be a child of you. Help us in these ways, whether it's distractions, whether it's our own pride and our own arrogance pulling us away from hearing and living out this truth. Lord, I pray you would be speaking to each one of us, me first, in these. Lord, if there's any area that I am missing, I am at fault, Lord, may that rise to the surface and you speak your truth through your word and allow it to transform my heart. Lord, I thank you that we're a people who love the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. But Lord, I also pray that we live by, that we are rooted by, that we are sustained by the whole Bible, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Continue to guide and guard our hearts, that you would be at the center, that you would be glorified, and it would be such a transformative, life-changing aspect of ourselves that we would go and share this truth with everyone that we come in contact with. We would build relationships in ways to say, I care about you so much that I want to transform your life by God's grace, by teaching you the truth that was instilled into me by those who love and care for me the same. We thank you for this truth and the reality of the eye-opening reality of where we may stand. We ask that we aim towards living like those on that good soil. It's in Christ's name we pray all of these things.